Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big
policy.
Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems.
And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they
the big
say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it causes concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming.
The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there balling and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, peace, power, love. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are back. Give it another run. I think we all just kind of needed a break to gather ourselves with all this going on. But we are back to get it going once again here on the Panther Party Radio Network. I don't know if you all tuned in Thursday when we jumped it off with the chat open rant on Thursday with Brother Kevin, but it was a pretty good show. Damn good show he brought on Thursday. Today, I want to talk about the continued police brutality that we allow to happen. And then I also want to touch on, discussing the upcoming trial of George Floyd's murderer, Derek Chauvin. I don't know if you all were watching Keeping Up With It today, any. I was actually kind of waiting to kind of peep in at the jury selection and see how things were going and progressing with that, but it was, wouldn't you know, interrupted because they want to now pursue third-degree murder charges. And I myself, we're all familiar with this case by now. Derek Chauvin, the killer cop, who for 8 minutes and 46 seconds put his knee on the neck of George Floyd, killing him. And honestly, in my eyes, I know in the eyes of many, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money as well. Before I jump off into this too deep, anybody who may be listening online, if you would like to call in and join the conversation or just listen, the call-in number has changed, and the new call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, to call in, it's 914-205-5538. And the only thing that I ask is when you call in, and you can press 1 to be put in the queue to say what you have to say. This is an open platform for all. Once you're done speaking, I ask that you yield the mic and also to put your phone back on mute so that we can keep the fluidity going and we may be able to hear the others speak while without interruption. But yeah, we're all familiar by now with the case that's pending. And to me, it's just another stall tactic. Anytime that we're already seeing the city being boarded up, we're already seeing witnessing the fences going up in lieu of the trial, which to me is kind of like the situation that happened with Breonna Taylor when they made all the preparation and you kind of knew where the decision was heading. You kind of knew what the decision was going to be. And I've got the same feeling with this particular case. And like I say, we're all familiar with it by now. And to me, it's an open and shut case. And like I say, not in just my eyes, but in the eyes of many, it's an open and shut case. And you all know how I like to do. I like to lay the gumbo. I like to set the table and put all the ingredients out there on the table. So the first 20 to 30 minutes, I'm going to just set the table with the brief commentary, if you will, of the subjects that I'm discussing. But feel free to speak on any subject. But like I say, tonight I'm specifically wanting to discuss the George Floyd situation as well as the continued police brutality that we allow, and I said it, we allow to happen and to continue to happen. But back to this Chauvin case, like I say, it's open and shut, and to me this is just another stall tactic. This man, after kneeling on a man's neck and taking his life, was allowed to not only bond out, but he was allowed to relocate as well, which we all know would not have happened if that particular case had been vice versa. So to me, like I say, I don't care if they change it to third degree murder, fourth degree murder, first degree murder, it doesn't matter. It's flat out murder. And it was murder with intent. And that is really needs to be stressed, because that was murder with intent. Therefore, in my eyes, like I say, it's an open and shut case, because he kneeled on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. There's no other intent except for to kill that man to kneel on his neck for that long. And you have bystanders yelling, telling him to get off of the man. The man is yelling, he can't breathe. But, and we've all saw the video, he holds on to the side of the police car and bears it even harder. We all know the outcome now. But like I say, this is just another, to me, another one of these acts that they're going to put on to act as if they care, to act as if they're concerned. But long story short, the end result will be Derek Chauvin will get a slap on the wrist for what he done. He'll get a slap on the wrist for kneeling on a man's neck, taking his life. There's no other way to look at that. There's no other way that you can classify that. And like I say, this is just another ploy by the system to appear to be concerned, to appear to be in the motions of justice. But all truth be told, like I say, we know the outcome, and I could be wrong. I'm hoping that with all they have done with passing this George Floyd bill, that if they are humane enough to pass a bill in the man's name, let's just hope that they are humane enough to, for once, give the man's memory justice and give the man's family justice. Because in the long run, that's really what it boils down to. And they can pass all the bills and rename all the streets that they want to. None of that, that what they do post-death will bring that soul back. So to me, all that is done after the fact. If there's no justice involved, it's all done in vain, and it's done more or less to patch their guilt. They feel better because of they did this and they did that, but without justice, it's never enough. And sometimes come from the courtroom. And we've got to start understanding that as well, because time and time and time again, we see these racist cops gunned down, beat down, choke out one of ours, and we never get justice. We never get true justice. So, yeah, we've had some of them that have been sentenced very lightly and probably the will be paroled out of jail longer than they were in there. They won't serve much time, like in the case of Botham John and Amber Geiger, given a light sentence. The other killer that shot the young man, Jordan Edwards, over in Mesquite, Texas, was given 15 years, the same amount of years that the gentleman, the young man he killed, lived. So relatively light sentences considering the outcome of their actions. And like I say, it comes a time when if we're not getting justice, we have to render justice and our own justice. Because when you lose someone in that fashion and then you're spit upon by this system. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and it leaves your spirit feeling some kind of way, bothered. Nothing was done. And then you have lost a loved and like I say, it just comes a time where we need to start sticking together, staying together, not just coming together for these circumstances such as George Floyd, for these circumstances such as Breonna Taylor. When we come together for these circumstances, we need to start staying together and standing on that, and then we'll start seeing these police running rampant through our neighborhoods, gunning us down, choking us out, disrespecting our women. And speaking of that, I know that you've all by now heard of the incident that happened in Rochester, New York. It's like something is in the water. What is Rochester police gangs got a quota for the first 3 months of the year? I don't get it. Like I say, until it's our duty, not only as the victims, it's our duty as citizens and humans to check what's wrong, whether it be internal or external. And I don't talk about a lot of the internal. We all know what's going on within our communities that need to be corrected. We know about the gang violence. The drug problems are really not as rampant in our communities as they were, and that's a good thing. But we still deal with the, self-inflicted deaths, with the, killing of one another. But that's not tonight's topic. We all know that we got to sweep around our own front porches and get them in proper order before we can step outside those boundaries and correct other wrongs. But once again, Rochester police, like I say, it worries me because I got a nephew in Rochester up there, a real intelligent young man. I'd hate for him to run across one of these race soldiers, because I would hate to have to make a trip to Rochester, New York. And I would make a trip to Rochester, New York behind my nephew, no doubt. Behind any of mine, no doubt. But another situation where we have two police officers, and I was reading this article, the article I got out of the New York Times, but I was reading this article, and they were talking about this, and two of those officers that were involved in the pepper spraying of this woman, that, let me give you the backdrop first, the woman, those who may not have heard, was the police called on her, said, accused her of shoplifting. When the police arrived, she had a 3-year-old with her, and they said that in the article that she opened, and in the video even you can see, I actually did watch the video as well, you can see her open up her purse. But then she walked across the street, and when she walked across the street, well, the police, they're going to count that as escalation. She's trying to flee. She's trying to resist. And long story short, they tackle the woman. Mind you, she has her 3-year-old child with her. And then they pepper spray the woman. Of course, they rough her up, manhandle her. And those two police were two of the same police that were involved in the pepper spraying of that 9-year-old girl back on, I think that was the 29th of January or something like that, but towards the end of January, when the police were called on the 9-year-old girl, for a domestic situation. And I actually watched the police body cam of that whole incident, and fusion. The mother was actually trying to discipline the child when the police first got there and had her detained, but the 9-year-old girl should have never been handled the way she was handled, long story short. And to be pepper sprayed and put in the back of a car, and then I don't know if you haven't seen the video, but at one point in the video, one of the police says, you're acting like a child. And the 9-year-old girl tells the officer, I am a child. And that, to me, is just the stupidity, and not only that, the ignorance and the wantonness of how eager these damn race soldiers are to accost us. It doesn't matter if you're 10, 12, 112, 87, man, woman, child, doesn't matter. As long as you wrapped in melanin, you are a target for their games. And that's what I'm going to call them, because it's what it seems like it is to these race soldiers. It seems like it's a game to them, like they're gaining stripes and they're gaining points within these police gangs that we all as black people have known existed for years. But now the FBI has caught wind of it and is now doing more looking into these police departments and these gangs within these police departments, literal gangs that have tattoos and markings to be recognized as such. So we're dealing with the same elements within the establishment that's supposed to protect and serve, within the establishment where you can go to an academy and be legally given a gun and a badge to serve and protect or harass and neglect. So, you know, that's just something else to think about. And like I say, with the situation with this lady who was accosted by Rochester police, like I say, two of those officers being involved in the pepper spraying of the 9-year-old girl. And then what's really crazy is they didn't charge her with shoplifting, because apparently she wasn't shoplifting. I can't remember the lame charge that they gave her, but you know, they had to give her something to hopefully try to justify their actions. But there's no justification for that, because even if she had stolen from that store, does it require them tackling her while she's got her 3-year-old toddler with her? And like I say, you know, they do us any kind of way that they feel like doing us, and that should be, at this particular juncture, that should be unacceptable on all levels. We all know about the case with Rochester police, the one that really put them on the map last year. Matter of fact, last March, about this time last year, with Daniel Prude, and he was actually his family called to get him help because he was having a mental episode. And when you know the race soldiers come out and put the spit mask on his face and then put him face down in the snow with one officer with his knee in the middle of his back, for I didn't really specify the amount of time, but long enough to suffocate him, because that's what the coroner ruled as his death, asphyxiation, from the bag being over his head and then his face being pressed into the snow. So it's like, what's going on with these Rochester police? What's going on with these police, period? And why is it that we know how they are behaving and we are watching it in real time every day? And I mean, out of curiosity, I wanted to know how many people had been shot by police so far in 2021. And I was looking back at 2020. And in 2020, there were 1,006 people who were shot to death by police in the United States. And when you take the population, yeah, I mean, 1,006 people may not seem like a lot. But if you think about, these are the people that are supposed to protect and serve. And then you factor in how many of those people that they shot and killed were unarmed. Well, then there lies the problem. And I pulled this up on Statista.com. But people shot to death by U.S. police as of February 24, 2021. The U.S. police have shot 132 people to death so far this year. And 60 of those people were killed in February. The month was 28 days. So if it had been 3 more days, if February was a regular month, it might have ended up being about 70 people killed in February as well, because with 132 people, well, that means 72 people were killed in the month of January of this year by police. 72 people. And that was the first month in the year. 132 people as of February 24th. What is it now? March 8th. So, you know, you do the math. You know, right now it's more than 132 people. They somewhere right now getting ready to fuck somebody up if they not fucking them up right now. Excuse my French, but that's just really how I feel about it sometimes. And then we lie in wait to start a GoFundMe. We lie in wait to march and protest. And honestly, like I say, it's just past that particular time. We've been over the last few weeks, you know, we've had the Fred Hampton movie come out, in which I've done a lot of reading on Fred Hampton and watched a lot of documentaries on Fred Hampton. I was sort of disappointed with the movie because to me the movie was more about the rat than the true hero. That spirit that Fred Hampton had, that willingness to work with any and everybody, the gangs, and turn them around, the Hispanics, the Asians, the white people. I mean, his ability to work with all those people, his leadership skills. My thing is this. I want to first see us get together. together. I want to first see us start moving in the same direction. I did a live the other day, and I said we can either continue to roll or we can create a flow. And what I mean is we've been rolling, and we've been getting rolled for years now, for decades now, for centuries now. We've been rolling with what they say, trying to do what they do, how they say do it, trying to fit in, trying to keep that whip off our back, trying to keep that knee out our neck. You know, we roll and go with what they give us. And see, we can create a flow. Like, we've had so many prior to us that attacked it in different ways, but at that particular time, that particular method is what was required. You know, we had MLK who attacked it on a peaceful method, the turn the other cheek method, though he changed his philosophy and his thoughts towards the end of his life. That's what cost him his life. But we've had that example. We've had the example of Malcolm, who was the bar none, hands down. You spit in my face, I'm going to pull your spit bag out of your throat, and you ain't going to never spit again. You know, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You shoot me, I'm going to shoot you back. That's my philosophy. Hampton was a mixture of both, and you have to appreciate that. And see, that's what I'm saying. We've had so many before us, and see, for all of that to have happened, for Malcolm to have come into his mindset, there had to be others before him that he watched and that he patterned himself after to come up with that philosophy. Malcolm, same way. For Fred Hampton, same way. And for us right now, we have had all the examples. We've had, I always use this philosophy, we've had a blueprint laid out for us. It's just time to pick the blueprint up. It's time to revise it to 2021 standards. Because I say we allow this to happen because we do allow it to happen. And until we bring our minds and our bodies and our spirits together in a collective way and create our own flow and stop just rolling with what we get, we're going to continue to just be given scraps. You know, we'll always be dependent upon somebody when we need to start being dependent upon ourselves. I often say, since this COVID has plagued us, that it's going to be a lot of new normals. So why not create our own new normal, and let's be unified on that. Let's create a real new normal where we got normal families, we have normal kids, we have businesses, we have schools where we truly make and create our own culture again. See, and that's really what it is all about, because we sit back and we wait for somebody to tell us what we can. We wait for them to tell us how to roll. We wait for them to tell us what we can do, where we can do it at, how we can do it, how many of us can do it, when we can do it. When we don't have to sit back and wait and ask and continuously beg nobody for nothing, because everything that we desire is within us, and everything that we need, we already possess. We just don't use it to our favor. And that is another one of the problems. And that's why I say we allow these things to happen, because we can police ourselves. We can not only police ourselves, we can build for ourselves. If we can build a whole country for people that has hated us and mistreated us, why can't we come together and build something for us? So that's what I'm laying out there on the table to eat tonight. That's what's being served up for dinner. I see I do have a call. It's been my first 30 minutes, so I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and I can't wait to bring my brother on because I know he's been listening, and I know he's got a lot that he's going to bring to the table as well. But tonight I'm discussing the continued police brutality that we allow to happen, and I also touched on the upcoming trial of George Floyd's murderer, which is to me an open and a shut case, and just couple of more cases that happened up in the Rochester area. Seems like the Rochester police are really trying to keep their gang quota intact. But if you are listening online, you can call in. The number is 914-205-5538. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. on the Panther Party Radio Network. And we going to set this thing on fire. I know after this break, when I bring my brother on, I can't wait to hear what he got to say. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Y'all stay tuned.
I'm sick of you hoes, trying to run mine. I'm coming with a good line, running after one time. I got a grip against you blue suits, black suits, white suits, and state troops. Like the way you made us, send a nigga to the penitentiary is how you play us. Locked us up for the summer, took the nigga's name of it, and passed his ass a number. Just because you legally pack a gas, man, doesn't necessarily mean you have to point it at the black man. Especially your black cops, you let your gas pop, because them honkies got you brainwashed. So now we come to new dealers. Fuck all the dumb shit, the line of work is cop pillars. I'm cutting shit short, ain't no filling out report, cause you ain't making it to court. I'm on freedom wing, from the hole in my glove, for fucking off Rodney King. It ain't nothing you can ask us, and since justice is burned, I'm about to fix some glasses. What the fuck up, Chucks? I'm coming after your ass. Crooked officer,
Mr. Officer, crooked officer, officer. I wanna put your ass in the car. You shouldn't fuck with me, just like myself, but too long. It's time to grab a motherfucking eye to get it on.
Oh, Mr. Officer, crooked officer, what's happening? You beat another black man's ass and now you high capping, friend. Do I have to move to River Oaks and bleach my fucking skin so I could look like these white folks just to get some assistance? Because the brutality in my neighborhood is getting persistent. Cause you wanna harass me, yeah. And if I talk back, you wanna bust my black ass, G. Just like Rodney King. But if you try that shit with me, it's gonna be a different scene. Try to pull me over on a dark road, but I'll be damned if I don't grab my nine and unload it until every blue shirt turns red. You heard what I said. I want all you crooked motherfuckers dead. So you better start picking out your coffin, sir, cause I'm coming after your ass.
Mr. Officer, crooked officer, I wanna put your ass in the car, officer. You do fuck with niggas like myself for too long. It's time to grab a motherfucking eye and get it on. Mr. Officer, crooked officer, I wanna put your ass in the car, officer. You do fuck with niggas like myself for too long. It's time to grab a motherfucking shit and get it on.
Call me up the other day, I got a warrant. Punk ass laws wanna know where the gun went. Said I shot a nigga the other day at a party, lying out there after I was at home drinking 40. Fooling with my niggas playing dominoes in the kitchen. The big black niggas did the killing, and I fit the description, yeah. And you know they think all black niggas look alike, so now they got the flashlight looking for Big Mike. Jacking niggas up, trying to capture me. Coppers wanna gaffle me, trying to put bullets into the back of me. Time and time again, I told them I didn't do it, and they knew it, but they still pursued it, so them motherfuckers blew it. So now I'm about to grab my shit and put them son of a bitches to be under, cause instead of running from the motherfuckers, turn the table cause I'm able, I ain't falling victim. Time to play a game, see the police watch me stick them. Cause I ain't running from a POLICE, nay, a motherfucking DIME, they gon' have the GED in me.
A-V-E.
Mr. Officer, cook it off, officer. I wanna put your ass in the car, officer. Cause you the fuck with niggas like myself for too long. It's time to grab a motherfucking nine and get it on. Mr. Officer, cook it off, officer. I wanna put your ass in the car, officer. Cause you the fuck with niggas like myself for too long. It's time to grab a motherfucking shit and get it on.
I don't think it's all officers, but you know, it's a song that really have a thing.
I want you to know this, I want you to see. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on this, because for the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer. What you did already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to see after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even in people living in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
All right. Welcome back to the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. on the Panther Party Radio Network. If you are listening online and want to call in, you can listen as well. Also, you can press 1 to join in the conversation. Call in number 914-205-5538. All right, let's get back off into this discussion. Before going to the break, I was talking about the Rochester Police Department and just really expressing my frustration with how we, you know, continue to allow these situations to happen, and it happens because of our inability to unify and our inability to stay together. And it comes a time when within this particular atmosphere where we're either going to have to stand firm or, like I said earlier, you know, continue to roll. And it's time for us to stop rolling, because we are such an intellectual, creative people. People follow us. We are not imitators and duplicators. Everything we do is imitated and duplicated. So understand that. That means that we possess something that others strive for, others want, others, you know, and we need to understand that that's powerful within itself. And then not only that, we've got to start understanding what's really powerful and how to make power move and how to position ourselves and how to be organized in our plan of action, not just reaction, but a plan of action. I'm going to bring my brother on. I did unlock your mic, unmute your mic, brother. So welcome. Thank you for calling in. And you are welcome to jump in here, and I'm eager and always waiting to hear your opinions, brother. Peace.
Peace, brother. I'm just going to touch on a couple of things I heard you say earlier. I'm actually kind of pressed for time, but I'm going to touch on something you said about the George Floyd thing. And actually, that other statistic that you had, you can add a couple more shootings to that because they had a couple out here. So far this year already is 23 police-involved shootings in Albuquerque right now, with two of them happening within the past couple of days. So the numbers ain't really changed for all of the marching and the rhetoric and the violence and the vandalism and the accusations and everything else. The numbers are still cruising along pretty much with pace with the past 10 years. They're right where they've been, even with all the Justice Department investigations. And we've been under their investigation for years out here, you know, based on the amount of shootings, you know. And so that's something I don't see changing. I wanted to touch on Rochester, too, because I'm from New York. Rochester is a city that we usually call the sixth borough. Rochester is nowhere near New York City, yet has a crime rate that rivals New York City's. And I've never understood how that could be. But when you mentioned that, you know, what happened up there with that incident there, which is where I believe they had took the bag and put it over the young man's head, supposedly to keep him from spitting, but that made no sense since all of y'all were standing behind him. And he's cuffed, and he's naked damn near, and he's on his knees in the street. So he didn't seem like a big threat to me. You know, made me think maybe they just some pussy-ass cops, and they shouldn't be walking around with guns, because without them guns, then they're more feline than a goddamn cat. Just admit what you are, you know. If you needed that gun to feel like you had some power, then you really were powerless, you know, to begin with. And even with the gun, you were less powerful because now you're not powerful, you're dangerous, you know. And you're not willing really to do your job because a true police officer is like that black guy we saw at the Capitol. That's a cop. I may not agree with anything about police. I may not agree with the ideology of it, nothing, but that's a cop. He did what he was supposed to do when it was time. He protected those he was paid to protect. He did what he needed to do to protect them, putting himself at great risk. So that is, to me, a police officer. And if all police officers were on that page, then I would have no problem with policing in America. But then that would be in a perfect utopian world, because then they would be held accountable, but there would be so little of that having to be done because they would be doing their job. We wouldn't be worried about them stopping us for dumb shit or catching us when they mad or whatever they did, whatever they're going through. You know, we wouldn't be catching that. But as long as we're catching that, situations like Derek Chauvin and George Floyd are going to continue. And America is so entrenched in the way that it does things that whenever it sees a chance to actually progress, it takes the slowest road to get there. All the while telling you we're trying, but it's the slowest road. It was the same shit that a slave owner, the same lie he would sell to those smarter slaves who started questioning, how can I get out of this? Can I buy my way out? What do I need to do? And ever since then, it seems like they played that same game. You know, progress is slow. Progress is slow. Progress is best defined as if your ass is on fire and you're standing next to a pool, you really do only have two choices: stand there and burn, or jump in the fucking pool. that I'm going to give.
I'm going to go back to something that you said that just really stood out with me just then, and it's kind of really about what I'm talking about when I say we allow things to happen. And you said a key word, you know, accountability. And we already see and we already know that this injustice system is not going to hold these race soldiers, these gang members accountable. And that's why I say it's important that we galvanize. You know, and it's so much easier said than done. I know that. You know, I'm preaching to the choir right now. But, you know, our galvanization and our ability to unite not only our bodies but our dollars, because I was talking to some brothers the other day, and I told them, I said, we really could avoid a revolution by simply taking our dollars away from them. And if we take our dollars away from them, we kill the machine, and then we can build our own machine. You know, and it just goes back to what I was saying earlier when I made the statement about, you know, we've got to stop rolling and start flowing, because we've been rolling for too long. It's time to stop tumbling and stand up and walk upright, you know, per se. But, yeah, accountability, and it's up to us to make them accountable for their wrongs. And, see, and that's what we are not prepared to do, because what we'll do is put somebody in a position and hope that they change some shit, like they hoping that Biden gonna change some shit. But I hope that they see it right now. Biden is speechless on all the police incidents that have happened so far this year. Kamala Harris is speechless on the incidents of police brutality that have happened this year, and like I said, it's over 130 of them. So where, and he even said that, though. I told people this. He said that in that interview he done with Lester Holt. He said he was going to do the same thing about police brutality that the administration he worked with prior to. And we all know what Obama did when it came to police brutality, nothing. And he also stated that he was not going to make it a priority. He was not going to blow it up. So that's no big deal that black lives are being just gunned down, murdered in the streets for no reason. You know, so that's why I say we got to hold him accountable. They put him in all these people dancing and backflipping when they got in office. But now I'd like to see some of those same people that was breaking their neck to go get that little goddamn sticker to put on their shirt to say I voted, because that's about all they're going to really truly get for their vote.
Yeah, but see, the problem that with accountability is one, accountability should be the person themselves being accountable for their actions. People having to make someone be accountable says that there's a flaw in the system right there. Because if everyone was accountable for their self, then no matter what trade or occupation they went into, what religion they studied, who they married, how many kids they had, accountability would be at the core of what they were doing, what they were teaching, and how they were living. We don't have that shit. And then on top of that, how are we going to hold accountable a group of people who have been endowed with power from the same group that oppresses us, and they're there to make sure that we never forget our oppression? So how do we hold them accountable when there's laws to make sure that we can't do what we need to do, defend ourselves or whatever, without some penalty, which creates what? Fear. And that fear keeps people from even being accountable then. Because then, yeah, you know you should do the right thing. And, you know, it's better to stand on your feet than live on your knees. And that's easy to say to everybody, and it's, you know, all of that. But the reality is the world doesn't really spin that way. And, you know, that was why I wanted people to understand there's a difference between being a revolutionary, an activist, a terrorist, and a straight-out criminal. Based on your actions and what you're doing and why you're doing it, and all those things go into that suit. But, you know, we have to look at what we've been living under. That's what we have allowed. Because we live under it. We pay taxes to it. We celebrate with it. We eat on their holidays. We talk about their situation. Who gives a fuck what Meghan Markle and her husband, a prince of a family who has a treacherous fucking history, and they're celebrated. They're celebrated. That movie, Bridgerton, is that show is about the blacks that were in the family back then. The city of Charlotte, North Carolina, is named after that black queen, Charlotte. So this ain't the first time that they you know, come on, man. I mean, all the slave owners fucked the slaves eventually. Just saying. One way or the other, you know. So it comes down to accountability, but what we're going to get with this police situation is what we've been getting. Bullshit. What they're going to do is they're going to give, he's going to get smacked. He's going to do a couple of years, if anything. If anything. And I'm starting to think that there's a good chance he's going to beat this fucking case. And I don't know why, and I hate when I think that, but yeah. I got a feeling they're going to sneak away for him to beat this case, never be a cop again, and you can go on and write your book and your screenplay and all that other shit, and, you know, basically that'll be that. He'll get sued civilly, and the Floyd family will take a few dollars, and they'll go into, you know, their new home and shut the fuck up. Seems to be the way it always works. So if black lives don't matter to black, contract. Why would they matter to white?
Right. Right. Because, yeah, that accountability, it could be done, but the reversal of that is a lot of work that we're not willing to put into it, you know.
It won't get done, bro. Collectively, we don't have the time. That, and notice
exactly.
How I said it.
That's my
collectively,
point.
We don't have the time.
Yeah.
See, everybody needs to be moving like a militia. That's why I was like noticing that everybody tripped on the militias, and I'm like, y'all ain't taking the biggest lesson that the militia gives you every time you see them. They're together.
Uh-huh.
They're together. When you see a militia, they're together. You don't see one. That's a dude. You see the militias, they hanging together. Our people won't make the time to do that for the shit that's substantial. They'll make all the time to do it for the shit that don't matter, though.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, that boggles my mind that we... like I say, and I've... At first, I remember when I first heard Kanye say that, and I'm not going to take it to the extremes to say we allowed slavery, because slavery was a fear factor issue. Just like today, it's still the same issue involved that was involved back then. The only thing now is the whips have turned into bullets. And the thing about us now is we don't have that fight that our ancestors had. We don't have that same I want free that our ancestors have. And I don't know, I guess that some of us grow into that and some of us never grow into it. Some of us, I guess, never see the need to grow into that. They get the comfortability or the they get in that comfort zone to where they're happy, their family's good, they're not worried about what anybody else's struggle is. They struggle ain't that hard like it used to be. And a lot of us are taken away from ourselves because of a slight success or because of a slight rise in income or rise in a change in, you know, lifestyle or per se. But and we never have, like you say, collectively, we've never been able to bring ourselves together collectively and all be on the same note, because you said it a few minutes ago. Yeah, now, I mean, that needs to be happening, like you said, right now, not like tomorrow or next week. That wheel already should have been, you know. And the thing about it is those of us out here who feel like this, but we don't come together on it, you know. And then, like I say, we could build our own utopia, and we don't need permission for that. You know what I'm saying? All it takes is for a big enough group of us to get together and make it happen. I was reading a story, actually listening to a story on YouTube. I'm going to have to go back through my history, because it's a little town just south of Dallas, Texas, here, where they have restricted getting water to that little town. And it was a all black little town, but there's very few people that stay there now, because, you know, they don't get running water. And like I say, they're not even 20 miles outside Dallas. But those are the types of communities where if enough of us get together, well, we come up with the funds. You know, we make our money, let our money work for us in order to make some things change, because I'm not one to believe there's not land. I know there's land here. I know that there's enough land that enough of us could buy up some land and we could start building what we need, what we want. It just takes a lot of work, like you said, a lot of work, and then too, like, you know, it's a lot of different personalities involved in that as well. I'm just not one to say we can't do it. I'm just one to say we're not doing it, you know.
You know, when I was first starting with the group, that was one of my biggest challenges, was that I was realizing the different personalities that I would have to deal with to try to put something together and see who could work well with others, who couldn't, you know, shit like that. But everybody had talent. There was different things that they brought to the party, you know. And the one thing that was obvious, and it's the one thing that most don't want to do, is the communication part of it. Because the only way that those people were able to get together and get a town going was people talking to each other. And they were accepting each other regardless of flaws or whatever. They was accepting each other. And then that helped them to be able to trust each other enough to work together to make something happen. All of those black towns that got wiped out, Slocum and all of it, they had to do that. And the thing is that we're in a situation where we have not had to do that. We have been urged not to do that. And everything has been laid in front of us to make sure that we're not in a rush to do that. They got our time ate up trying to survive. They got a million and one distractions from sex, drugs, music, videos, porn, whatever. Anything out there. It's a million things in the way. So that's why when I said the thing about the time, that's the one. Because the one thing that I did realize that communication takes time, and people just won't make the fucking time.
Yeah. Damn. That's a damn good point too. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really all about what it is, man.
Yeah.
I'm even guilty of that. No, every human is, because you have to survive. If you don't work, you don't eat. You know, and there's certain shit you can't do while you're working. You got to do what you got to do. You know, and then when you get off work, you still got to figure out some time to spend with your loved ones. And you got to still, you know, you got to eat, you got to bake. It's shit to do. We have to make time for certain shit, but communication is the one thing that they have trained us in the past 30 to 40 years to not waste a lot of time on. That's why they got social media. Now you don't have to call your people and say happy birthday. You can take 2 seconds out of your day and not call them and just write it on their Facebook timeline. And you can go on about your day feeling great, like you communicated with somebody.
Yeah, you're right about that. Right about that. Yep, I put a post up the other day. I was like, social media successfully making people unsociable, and that's what it's done.
Totally antisocial.
Yeah.
Totally antisocial. You know, that's why, you know, when we, the situations, we see more of the police shit because of social media, because it's a lot of those stories that never hit the news. Not really. Local news, maybe, but what happens in Jacksonville, Florida ain't going to be on the Dallas feed or the L.A. feed or the New York feed. You know what I mean? We won't know. We might hear one out of there, out of the 30 they may have had in the past months. You know, that's another way, another form of control, too. And also, it keeps people apathetic. People have gotten to the point to where now they just get mad. Man, that's that bullshit. Yeah. And keep right on scrolling.
Yeah.
Keep right on scrolling. They ain't tripping on that shit. You know? They can get mad for a few minutes and then boom, gone. That anger, it's like weed smoke. It ain't going to stay for so long. No matter how stinky it is.
Yeah. Because I was reading over some articles and stuff earlier, and a lot of old articles popped up, and I was just like, wow, you know, some you have so many, you forget some, and they happen so fast, so randomly, that you forget about some of the ones in the past, even the more recent ones. You know, your mind has already looked past it. You know, when, like I say, when I was reading through some of the old articles and stuff earlier, and just I was like, wow, yeah, I mean, dang, that just happened a couple of years ago. I already forgot about that. You know, it's just how quick we push it to the back burner. You know, how we've been conditioned. You know, and then like you say, the way they feed it to us is in such a way to numb us to it, desensitize us to it, to where it's not such a big thing. And that's the way they feel about it. So when they can get us feeling like that about it, well, they win. You know, and then we continue to take our own lives as well. You know, I touched on that earlier. Like I say, I wasn't going to get on to that because it's really not what this show was about. We all know that what our internal problems are, you know, and what needs to be corrected internally. But you really made a key statement because, yeah, communication is what's lacking. And then, like you say, when you have to work, you have to eat, you have to tend to your kids, make time for your grandkids, your wife, your family, your other family members, and life still goes on, even outside the activism and everything else that's happening. And, yeah, communication is really a key element, and that's within building anything. You know, you have to be able to communicate to, you know, keep the machine turning, keep everybody on point. And, yeah, you got to really be thirsty for it. You know, you have to be like that man that then walks in the desert for about 4 hours in July. You know, you have to be real thirsty for it. So yeah, that was as always valid point. We don't communicate enough. We allow people to come over here and surpass us, and then we get mad at them for surpassing us when we could all sit at the table and build the same things they build. But
what I would love to see, you know, because I'm going to have to bounce here in a minute, but what I would love to see is everybody be able to turn down those things that get in the way of communication, you know, because that's the only way that you're going to ever get any unity is if people talk. If they ain't really talking to each other, and I don't mean Facebook. Facebook and all that social media shit is a form of communication, and personally, I don't think it's a really good one. But it's a form of communication. It's a media. It's a way of doing something, but, you know, it doesn't replace actually talking with people. It doesn't replace that ever. And, you know, they've tried to even make it to where you can do it through there, too, but it's still not the same. To sit down and actually be able to talk with your folks, you're going to get more out of that than you would ever get out of their timelines or the Twitter feeds or whatever the hell they be. All of that shit is garbage. You know, and I just really wish people would go back to communicating the way they used to, because if they were doing that now, we'd be a lot further than, because right now we're more separated and divided than ever. And we're separated over some of the silliest shit, rappers, beefing, dumb shit, you know, and people are really taking this shit to heart. And I mean, you know, and I'm like, none of this matters, because if you had your liberty, then a lot of this dumb shit that you thinking matters, you realize was all a distraction to keep you from having your liberty.
Yep.
But I digress. How you?
Yeah, I'm going to cut the show short tonight. I just wanted to get on here and let everybody know that we was back on the airwaves, because, yeah, I had mentioned your show the other night, which was a very good show. And that's really what it's all about, you know, doing these shows and stuff is just really trying to bring like-minded people together and get different thoughts and different ideas, because everybody has different opinions about everything that's happening. And the other thing to me is, I mean, you know, I drive and I'm in a lot of different places, and I get to see a lot of my brothers and sisters out here in different states, and we all got that look on our face like, what next, you know? And that's what we all need to be thinking, what next. But not only thinking what next, we need to be doing what's next and making moves for what's next, you know. Just key ingredients, and like you say, communication is damn sure key to all of that, you know, especially when it comes to organizing a group, you know. And it's a lot of work, like you said. It is definitely a lot of work. But like I say, I'm not one to say that we can't. I'm one to say just not doing it right now at the moment. And I'm hoping all that will change. I just, you know, the question was asked to me months ago, what do you think it'll take to bring us together? If what's going on right now ain't doing it, that answer is, it's out there, and who knows that answer, you know, because what will bring us together? Because my answer was, tragic situation seems to be what brings us together, you know, and we still don't stay together after the fact, and we just go back to normal. Next one happens,
we're
in the same
tragic situation, and we ain't together.
And, Exactly. You know? So, I mean, I don't know what it would take. That's a real hard. That's a tough. That's one to think about and really, you know, ponder on. Because I often ask myself, what is the spice that needs to be pinched in this ingredient that's going, you know, snap us out of this spell of we made it, because we have yet to make it. We ain't made it yet, you know. And a lot, some of us have, but not enough of us. And that's part of the problem, you know. But that's another show, too. But I do appreciate you calling in, brother, supporting the first show back.
No doubt.
Like I say, I wasn't planning on doing a whole 120 minutes tonight. Just kind of wanted to touch on that Chauvin case, because when I saw the news this evening and they were talking about, you know, they stopped the jury selection because they were wanting to up the charge to third-degree murder. I'm just like, all that to me is just the system giving him more time, you know. And just playing that game, making us think, you know, and like I say, that's just those things that make us think that they're actually going to do something, when all in all reality, and I'm like you, and I hope I'm wrong too, but I don't feel like they're going to do nothing to him at all. Not at all, brother.
That is what it is. This is America.
That is true. That is true. Would you like to play gig?
Nah.
Right. Well, once again, I do appreciate you calling in, brother, supporting. First night back. I'm going to wind this thing on down. Appreciate everybody that listened online. Next time, go ahead and pick up the phone, call in, be a part of the conversation. That's really, like I say, what it's all about. Us collectively coming together, having meetings of the mind, realizing our differences, and not only realizing them, but growing to understand our differences. The only way that we can stop what's oppressing us is if we stop oppressing each other and we stop holding each other back. We got to start thinking forward progress and stop being stagnant and stop being so docile about what's happening to us. Everybody's not meant to be a warrior, but everybody has a fight. And everybody has a part to play in this. And it is time for us all to realize that we will never have change if we don't become part of the change. And like I say, we all have a part to play in that change, within that change. And it's not about changing it to better our condition. It's about changing it to better the conditions of those that are coming up behind us, the children. We got to make sure that they're able to walk on a smoother path than we've been able to travel. We got to make sure that they're able to walk on a safer path that we've been able to travel. And that's why I say we got to bring our bodies, our minds, our spirits together for the righteousness of us and to do what's best for us. Because the only way that we will accomplish what needs to be accomplished is by coming together. And I know it's been a while since y'all heard this, so I'm going to throw this in. We need each other, y'all. We need each other. And with that being said, like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key. I appreciate everybody listening. This has been The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr., Party Radio Network. And like I say, thank y'all for listening. Peace, power, and love.
Good looking on the cut, fam.
Seeing if a 7-digit check clear, all in the connects air, driving cars that come out next year, block lit, all I did was come out for some fresh air, big chain, nice watch, fresh gear, heck yeah, killers respect killers, soft niggas respect fear, crazy cause I love it, but I hate it that I rep there, sad part about it is that I made it when I left there, sorry to whoever anticipated my death there, you die, they hope, don't sleep, stay woke, the more money you get, the more it's your fault, stay broke. Catch a bullet in your culo. In the hood, that's how they do, though. This ain't nothing new, yo.
Ain't nothing new.
What?
This ain't nothing new. Two niggas like me, man, that's what I do. And you guys lied to if they said this ain't what I do. This ain't nothing new. It ain't nothing new. Nah, well, maybe to a nigga like you. Cause around here, man, this an everyday thing. No, it ain't nothing new.
Never turn down. Zone, I'm front line. Always respecting what's real, I won't mind. Anytime they shut up the hood, was go time. Once you stop covering life, you so lost. If you have some smut on your name, you can't grind. Over reputation and pride, we gon' die. When the police ask for the truth, I told lies. And when I finally got in this booth, my soul cried. Once you up, it's stoop, you no child. Ain't make no excuse for your youth, on no side. See me, I graduated these streets in 05. But still live and die by these rules, you know
it
why.
It ain't nothing new, this ain't nothing new. Two niggas like me, man, that's what I do. And you guys lied to if they said this ain't what I do. This ain't nothing new, it ain't nothing new. Nah, well maybe to a nigga like you. Cause around here, man, this an everyday thing. You know it ain't nothing.
Underneath you, God shuffles the deck, but the cards come from the people. Speaking from a place where the odds are unequal. Yeah, in the discussion, ain't nothing new. I vocally destroy any production. Go get your crew, put my prints on the Simeon button. Grateful, I know the difference between plenty and nothing. On the block, on the crate, sipping Henny and puffing. And even though it's all love, keep your enemies lusting. Lick a shot off and let two go. Let me off the leash, I'm like Cujo. This ain't nothing new, yo.
This ain't nothing new.
What?
This ain't nothing new. Two niggas like me, man, that's what I do. And you got lies, so if they said this ain't what I do. This ain't nothing new. It ain't nothing new. Nah, well maybe to a nigga like you. Cause around here, man, this an everyday thing. You know it.
Ah, 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 ah.